بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. میمون بن مہران رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ کے کپڑوں پر ان کی بھانجی سے شوربہ گر گیا. غصہ میں بھانجی کو سزا دینے کا ارادہ کیا. حضرت میمون بن مہران رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ وانٹس تو اس چھلے گھر سی بائی ایکسیڈنٹ سم گریوی سیل فوڈ سیل ان پولیس کلوڈی اینڈ ان اینگر ہی واس اباؤٹ ٹو پنش ہم. ان دوز ڈیز مین اینڈ وومن سلیوری واس این انسٹیٹیوشن سسٹم ایگزسٹڈ ٹائم ان میموریل کیم ڈاؤن. And but Islam introduced a wide range of reforms which gradually led to the eventual abolition of slaves, of slavery. There was no need for any government, Islamic government, to enact laws in order to abolish slavery. But at the same time, this slavery, even though slaves in the early days who were with the Muslims, they were of an entirely different kind of people which Islam had ordered Muslims to meet out to the slaves, except the slaves out apart. And they were entirely, they had become a privileged community. The many reforms of Islam that introduced, it had made emancipation of slaves as an act of ibadat, of high merit. For, take for example, a kafara for qasam, or an oath which has been violated, the Sharia stipulated in those days, a slave should be set free. If you look at the treatment which was meted out to them, to follow the example of Hazrat Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, and this was not an isolated example, it's very famous that when he set out at a time when he was the Khalifa, the emperor ruling half of the world, at that time he set out to take possession of Jerusalem. He set out with one slave, and the slave took turns in the journey. Slave would walk with the camel for a few kilometers, and Hazrat Umar would be seated on top of the camel. And then for the next few kilometers again, slave would be seated on top, and Hazrat Umar would walk with the camel. In this manner, he continued the journey until when he reached Jerusalem. He was walking, and slave was sitting on top. Hazrat Abdullah bin Umar رضي الله تعالى عنه, when he saw one of his slaves performing salat beautifully, within his second sari, then the other slaves took advantage, and they, whenever they would see him, they would pretend to perform salat beautifully, and on that pretense in the second sari, he would also comment, say that they are pretending, but he ignored that, so even if they pretend, doesn't matter, in the second sari. So as I said, this was not only amongst a few sahaba, this was a general trend among them. And then the slaves of those days, they mainly came as captives of war. They had engrossed themselves in the ink of the deen, and in taqwa, so much so that they became the great Aima Muslim deen and leaders of the Islamic world. The scholars of the awliya, the deen, and they are our guides. They are the leaders of the ummah. They were slaves, and they were children of slaves. Hazrat Abdullah bin Mubarak, rahmatullahi, very famous Muslim of the time of the Muqtadi. His father was father was a slave, and in fact, in the age of the Tabi'in, the majority of the Ruhani spiritual leaders of the Ummah, all were freed slaves. And the slaves had risen to such status that they became, the females among them became queens, everything, Venus cleansed. And then, in fact, there was a dynasty of slaves called the Mamluks. It's essentially they ruled, they were slaves, but they ruled Egypt. And in fact, it was this dynasty, this, the rule of the Mamluks, which finally stopped Genghis Khan. They had destroyed with hordes of Mongols, they destroyed the entire Islamic world. The destruction which he had brought, no one had brought so much destruction on the world of Islam as Genghis Khan. But he was finally stopped by the Mamluks, by the slaves of Islam. He was stopped by them and they neutralized Genghis Khan. So I said then, the slaves were highly treated in this last one. I stipulated that it was wajib for the master to feed his slave the same food he eats. It's not wajib for him to feed your servant the same food that he eats because he is getting paid. But a slave, it was wajib to feed him the same food that you eat, and you have to give him the same garments that the master wears, you have to give him the same clothing also. Now there are many reforms which led to today eventual abolition of slavery, but Islam did not outright abolish it because they mentioned the need of it, because in jihad the chapters of war are taken from the Islam, they must be apportioned out to the homes. They are not sent to jails or into concentration camps. They are given out to the divided amongst the Muslim public, and they were distributed amongst under their care and in the homes and all. So this slave girl, she by accident, the bowl of gravy or soup fell on the clothes of Hazrat Maymun bin Mahran radiallahu ta'ala, and felt very annoyed and angry, and he wanted to punish him. Bandhu the Quran to the eye for the Shiva said, so the slaves were trying to cross themselves in learning the Quran. Allah Ta'ala made the conception such to Allah Ta'ala want to kill, so the world of him. And so the Arab nation also. That in spite of Islam having come to the Arabs, and in spite of the fact that the Arabs had spread Islam in the world, but even while the Sahaba were living often, then the majority of the spiritual guides and leaders, the Messiah of the Ummah, were freed slaves. So she immediately recited this ayat, وَالْقَادِمِ الْغَيْسِ, and she saw his activity, wanted to punish her, so she said, Allah Ta'ala said, وَالْقَادِمِ الْغَيْسِ, the ayat of the Quran, a portion of the ayat, and Allah Ta'ala, he praises, he says, those, the mu'min, they are those people who swallow their anger. She recited that, yes, you can hear Hufa Farwa Hogaya. As he heard this, his anger subsided. One day, one of the Sahaba heard that he, I took Allah Ta'ala saying this immediately, and it was not so insane that someone decided Allah Ta'ala ayat and we must retain our anger, so he his anger subsided. Bandhu ne jarab karke ayat ka agla juice aur sunaya. Then when she said girl saw that his anger was subsided, she became muscle of courage and she recited the other portion of the ayat. Well, after 9 years, and the mu'minin are those people, Allah Ta'ala says, that they overlook the faults of others. Sarmaya made it to Mafia, then he said, I have forgiven him. Maymun radiallahu ta'ala said, I have forgiven him. Bandhi ko mazid himmat hui, aur ayat ka aakhiri juz bhi suna da. And then he became more audacious, became more courageous, and he recited last portion of the ayat, okay, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ, and Allah Ta'ala loves those who do acts of kindness. Allah, فَرْمَانَا مَنِ تُسْكُوا اللَّهُ كَذِي آزَادْ كَا, he said, for Allah Ta'ala, I mentioned it to you, I set you free, you can go now. So this, I said, this was the manner, time of the slaves, and this was the way and the belief of the Sahaba, no matter how much anger they had, how much they needed to control the anger. He said that the time of anger is to suffer, and the suffer of the time of anger is to forgive. You need to forgive the fault of others. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam فرمایا جس کے اندر تین خصلتیں نہیں ہوں گی وہ ایمان کی حلاوت نہیں پا سکتا. رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم said that person in whom these three qualities are lacking, that person will never experience the sweetness of ایمان, strength of ایمان, power of ایمان, sweetness of ایمان will experience. One is علم کے ذریعے جاہل کی جہالت کو رفع کر سکے. That first is thing. So he mean tolerance, that you have the power and ability to take revenge, to meet out punishment, but you control your anger, and that's called tolerance. The tolerance by means of which you ward off the jahalat of the jahil, the ignorance of the ignoramus, the man is ignorant, is swearing you, is abusing you, is slandering you. Now, if you are a person of ill, you are a person of intelligence and akal, then you also behave like him, you retaliate and you act in the same way. No, that's not proper. You must attack with him, you must confront his jahalat, his ignorance with him and overlook it. And the second quality is taqwa, just to hear your haram, so that's it, it's taqwa. By means of which you abstain from things which are haram. Taqwa actually means to abstain because of fear, stay away. For that reason, it is called commonly piety. Without abstention from sin, there is no piety. Person can never gain taqwa, can never gain piety. Without abstention from sin, you can spend the entire day in salat, in dhikr. But if the person does not abstain from sin, he does not consume halal, he can never attain taqwa. So the second quality is taqwa. And the third quality is husn-e-khulq, جس کے ذریعے لوگوں کی مدارت کرے. Third quality is a good, beautiful character, by means of which you will display culture to people, you will be kind to people, you will tolerate the inconveniences, and you will not inconvenience them, you will rather tolerate the difficulties and the distress they cause you, but you will not cause distress to them. That is a good, husn-e-khulq, a good character. So one, in whom hilm, taqwa and husn-e-khulq are lacking, such a person never experienced the sweetness of iman. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah.